Love street style? Check out our online exclusive Slug Style feature only on slugmag.com.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is Allison Katana. I am a guitarist and vocalist for the local band Horrible Penny with my friends Luke Bamford, Elliot Emery, and Owen Knibby. And we make dreamy punk music. If I could, I would just call the genre Allison Katana, but only people who know me would understand that. There's just something very, angsty and dreamy about the music that I write, which is why I feel the need to call it dream punk. It's sounds that I want to stretch across the city, and I want everyone to hear it, and I want them to shiver in their trousers, and I want it to shiver the city down to the last radio. There's a sense of when you were young and lost and trying to figure out what it was that you were feeling at the time in my music, and I feel like everybody's been through that or they're going through that currently. And so I feel like within the music I make, it's kind of a bittersweet daydream of memories you hope you never forget. It's kind of like anything from discovering how much I love Velvet and Glitter to my first big heartbreak to going over to my best friend's house crying because I really like this boy, but I broke my phone and I can't text him. In the moment, those feelings and those emotions and those problems are all that matters, and it's what's turning your world around. And in those moments, I could have cared less about what was going on in my geography class, because it was way more important to me what was going on in my love life, what was going on with the people I loved and my friends. And it was just a constant struggle, do I read the AP book or do I just think about that boy? People come and go, and you can't really stop that. And I think that was something that I struggled with a lot as a kid. And I think a lot of my songs are kind of about trying to find peace in those things. We have a song called Ryan. There's a lyric in it that says, "You don't have to love me, you already did." And essentially, that was just a lyric about this person that I met that I fell in love with at first sight, which has never happened to me before and hasn't happened since. And I remember the way they looked at me just made me feel so loved and appreciated and respected, and I wasn't sure if anything was going to come out of what we had, but the moment I had where I just, and I met them at Kilby Court the first time I played, so they were washed in the sea of purple light wearing a Joy Division shirt, and it just kind of, I wasn't sure where I was going in my life, I wasn't sure if that person was gonna become more a part of my life or not, but I had fallen in love with them in the teenage way. In my sophomore year of high school, I applied for this program called Musicology at SpyHop, where they take applications from kids ages 14 to 19 from all over Utah not just Salt Lake, but Utah in general. The Spy Hop puts you into this room, and they write everyone's name on a whiteboard, and next to it they write all the instruments that you say that you can play. And then from there they split you up into groups, so that way they don't have a room just of guitarists and just drummers. So you get split up into these groups of people you just barely met, and it's about three or four people in each room, and they give you a prompt and they tell you to write a song with these people. And so I had to write a song with all these strangers, and the mentors were walking in and out of the rooms, just like watching the song process. And I remember I was so nervous. And afterward, we like played the song for the people who were deciding who stays and who goes. And then there was an interview process, and it was the scariest audition I've ever done. Afterward, I remember I told my mom, I was like, yeah, I'm not getting into that, Mom. That's not that. Everyone there was just so incredibly talented. I genuinely just didn't feel like they were gonna look at me. And then Jeremy called me about a week later. At the time, Jeremy was the mentor for the musicology program, and he told me, hey, I would like to offer you a spot in this year's musicology band. And I remember I just kept saying, that sounds lovely. That's just lovely. Wow, that's really lovely, Jeremy. Thank you.
Did you say yes?
I did say yes. And it was just such an interesting program because I learned how to work in a band dynamic. And then from there, I was committed to working with Spy Hop. All the experience really turned me into the person I am today, partially because they were so conducive to creativity, and it was such a welcoming environment that I felt very freeing, or it felt very freeing in the sense that, like, I knew that if I needed to be heard and if I needed to say something, or at least even try to find the words to say something, they would be there not only to listen but to help. And they helped me grow as a musician and a lyricist and honestly as a person. I had a solo project, which was Horrible Penny, and it was just a SoundCloud project. And I was approached by this guy in the music scene who was trying to start up his own label, and he wanted to record Horrible Penny. I told him, you know, I think I want like a full band on this. But at the time, I was still thinking of it in a sense of a solo project. So I started gathering different musicians for the project, and I was anticipating it just being a recording thing, just being able to have my songs on something tangible and being able to show people my recordings outside of a crappy voice memo recording that I have on SoundCloud. But if you do go on SoundCloud and find Horrible Penny, it's only going to be my solo stuff. So I was gathering musicians for that. Elliot, who's the drummer of Horrible Penny still, he was drumming. Luke, who's currently the guitarist of Horrible Penny, was originally doing bass. But Luke and I have hung out a lot. We've known each other for 3 or 4 years now. And we both love Modest Mouse. So a lot of the times we'll hang out and play Modest Mouse covers. Sometimes he'll write on top of stuff I do. And I just kind of realized, I was like, dude, you should be playing guitar in this project. Like, our sounds are so conducive, it just makes sense. So I ended up getting my friend Josh, who was in the Debbie Downers, to do bass on Horrible Penny. But then the Debbie Downers ended up dissolving because Haven, who was the bassist for that band, she went to Washington for college. So we were like, okay, we got to get another bassist. But then Josh, who was the guitarist of Debbie Downers and the current bassist for Horrible Penny, was like, you know, I'm just going to focus on my solo music. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? So I turned to Owen and I said, do you want to play bass in a band? So Horrible Penny has an album out called Shades of Green. The first song we ever learned together as a band was Rosslyn. And when we played that as the full band together, I remember realizing that this is what I need. This is the people I need to be making music with. That first track, though, Rosslyn, is about this time when I had made plans with a boy to go and hang out with him, but we didn't set an exact place for me to pick him up. He was just planning on taking the train out to by where I lived. And then my phone died, like just straight up death. And I was really looking forward to that date. So I went and I sat in my car at the train station I thought he might go to, just in case he went, even though I couldn't text him to finalize any details whatsoever. And I sat there for about 4 hours until I realized he's not coming. I drove to my best friend's house and I cried on my way there. And I was only listening to the New Moon soundtrack, but just the song Rosslyn by Bon Iver and St. Vincent on repeat. And I get to my friend's house and I'm just sobbing. And so she's like, let's go take my dog on a walk and we'll get really like expensive, fancy, fruity coffee drinks from the coffee shop next door. And so we did that. We just went on a really long walk all over her neighborhood for about like an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then we got back to her house and just like fell asleep. And that was the end of the night. But the song Rosslyn, I named it that because I felt like my friend Paulina embodied what the song was on my drive over there. Like, the song was very comforting to me, and then when I got there, she was very comforting to me. So that's why in the song I refer to her as Rosslyn. The other songs convey emotion similar to that. Like Ryan is about love at first sight when I played my first show at Kilby Court ever. Freddie is about I was watching my dad and older brother having to go to rehab for drug abuse, and it was really hard for me like throughout my life. And then I fell in love with this girl at school and we went on a date over winter break. And we made each other mix CDs and we gave them to each other. We did not plan to give each other the mix CDs. It's just we both pulled out a mix CD for each other. And it was just the cutest gay thing you could ever like expect to happen. Then after, though, suddenly I wasn't getting texts from her. I come back from winter break and she's nowhere to be found. And I start asking around to people like, where did she go? Like, do you know where she is? She's not answering my text messages. She's not holding my hands in the hallways. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore. And it turned out she had to go to the hospital and she went to uni and then she was on suicide watch afterward. And it was so severe that her parents decided to homeschool her after that. She just disappeared. And the last time I had seen her was when we had given each other those CDs, and it took me a really long time of investigating to figure out where she went. So I remember I was in my chemistry class and I was so angry and upset. And instead of paying attention to whatever the teacher was saying, I wrote down the lyrics to Freddie, the chorus being, you were in a hospital, I was in a classroom, waiting for my fall, waiting for my fall. Because I was like, how am I supposed to go on knowing that you just could come and go so easily? Of corduroy girl. I remember I was having a really rough day and I went into the girls' bathroom to cry. But for some reason, I cried so hard my nose began to bleed. And I was just sitting on the floor of the bathroom and like class was going on. And I just like had stepped out to like go in there. And I'm like, I'm a mess. Like, I don't foresee myself walking into class looking like this, you know. I can't get this nosebleed to stop. My eyes are all puffy. It wasn't anything in particular that had caused me to cry. It was just in that particular morning, I felt the weight of the world and the weight of, you know, my experiences and the people I've met, and again, how people will so easily come and go as they please. And it just kind of, I don't know, all the little things just began to pile up in the car, and suddenly there was a feather dropped down, and I'm like, the tears came tumbling over, if you will. And so Corduroy Girl was written about the impression that other people leave on me and how I feel like I'm almost a product of those things and the way people have affected me. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I wonder if I'm looking at myself or the product that like has been made from the people I know. And at this point in my life, I think I could argue that that's the same person, and that is just like the process of growing. But at that time, I wasn't really sure of who I was and if the people in my life were right for me. Honestly, I feel like playing the music from those ages, 16, 17, 18, is like I'm paying my respects to the emotions I had at that time and the person I was at that time. It's like shaking up a snow globe. Each memory, each song is a snow globe, and when you shake it up, it just comes rushing back to you. And I feel like every time that I play those songs, the emotions have passed now, but I still respect the vulnerability and the intensity that I felt things at. I feel really comfortable in being able to write about vulnerability. I do still get really nervous on stage, though. There's a moment during the first time we play, during whatever the first song is, there's always a moment of like heat flashing through, up through my legs and in through my arms, and I feel everybody's eyes on me, like as if they're like super glued onto me, and I feel their attention. And at first it makes me want to run and hide, but then I remember that I'm never gonna say these things without this music, and it's really important that I'm heard right now because I deserve to be heard. You're about to hear Corduroy Girl.
Thank you.
find Horrible Penny on Instagram and Facebook, and our album Shades of Green streaming everywhere on any service that you choose. On New Year's Eve, we are playing the Block Stage, the last hurrah event at the Gateway. So, you know, you can sing 2019 out with us in the form of Dreamy Angst. If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Join us every third Thursday of the month for Slug Localized, a monthly celebration of Utah's up-and-coming musicians. Always hosted at the Urban Lounge, with doors at 8 p.m. and music at 9 p.m., and always $5 at the door. Visit slugmag.com for more details on the lineups and dates under our daily calendar tab.